Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Nick, it's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You cannot pass!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 68. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack. Immediate off the top, apology for audio issues. If we sound tinny, Trill's recording at home. We usually record at home on Sundays, but as you know by now, we're going to be on Pardon My Take, doing Mount Rushmore movie crushes. So we're in the office, Ken Jack and I, waiting to do that. But there's not like the usual crew here, and we have no idea how to set up the radio room. So Ken Jack and I are in different conference rooms downstairs. We're in the same fucking office, different rooms recording this. So it'll sound a little tinny, but you know what? Same content. That's all that matters, right, guys?
I think you're going to sound the worst because you have that crappy amateur blue snowball, whereas Ken Jack and I have the blue Yeti, the official mic of at-home podcasters.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Again, apologies off the top. Also, Pardon My Take, if you've never heard of it, that's weird. But you can subscribe and unsubscribe there and find our podcast with PFD and Big Cat. It'll be a good one, I assume. I haven't recorded it yet, but we're going to say it's good. And you at home didn't know what you were voting for, but you voted for your movie crush. So we all get one slot on the LCP Mount Rushmore. So excited about that. Let's start it off. News, MoviePass, is it dead? On the night of Mission Impossible Fallout, the MoviePass system went down. We actually had a lot of people tweeting us, and I didn't know what the problem was. I was like, maybe they just don't have their apps updated. But it turned out that MoviePass ran out of money, just straight up ran out of money, which makes it hard to buy tickets for their customers when they don't have money. And it got a $5 million loan. This has to be it, right? Like, this is the final straw is about to fall out, right?
Huh. That's a nice pun considering Fallout's what broke the system.
Fuck. Yeah, you're right. Didn't mean to do that.
I don't get it. I get it.
Okay, true. So.
Yeah. it's sad. I got to say that. We're huge MoviePass fans, even though it is in direct competition with AMC's A-List. And we are trying to get AMC to sponsor the pod since day one. But MoviePass, one of the few things in life as a consumer that actually felt beneficial to you as a consumer and like you weren't getting taken for a ride. Minimal investment, got to get good benefits out of it. Didn't know how they were making money. Push comes to shove. Neither do they. And it looks like it's not going to end well. Although maybe they'll take that brand, you know, because the MoviePass brand's already established. Maybe they'll sell it off and maybe they'll transition it into something that is more like the A-List, where it seems like you pay $20 rather than what you pay now and maybe have a more limited schedule of movies. It is interesting, though, that they ran out of cash. It seems like they would have credit to take care of that. But I'm just a humble podcaster. I don't know how that works.
Well, they actually
it's just a big debit account.
They're talking about making a Rotten Tomatoes competitor, which would be such a shame if someone else made one. God, that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be such a shame if somebody came up with an audience-based Rotten Tomatoes competitor that's very simple and easy to follow. It would be, again, just a real
haters.
Thing.
The haters would hate to see that. They'd be shitting their pants if
the
someone
haters and losers would be very disappointed.
They'd be furious.
That.
And you go.
Okay. No, go ahead. Don't edit this out. Just leave it in.
Yeah, this is raw.
This is the raw dog podcast right now. So I read this interview with the Helios and Matheson CEO, Ted Farnsworth, who they own MoviePass. And he explained their long-term plans for the company. And like, it all made sense at the time when I read it, because like they at the time, it was before they did, before Gotti, before all like those fucking cascading disasters, before AMC A-List and all that. And he sort of made me believe in his message. And I was like, okay, maybe he's got something going here. But then A-List comes out, then the Gotti scandal comes out, which the Gotti rating scandal has its own Wikipedia page now, which means that shit's official. It's no longer a theory. Even if it's just conspiracy theory, if you have a Wikipedia page, it's essentially true. So it's all downhill from here. And I think that's, like you said, Jeff, it's the last straw for the company.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like they're almost done, but no matter what, and like, you know, we don't use it. We use another service, and I'm not going to give them free advertising because I just want them to sponsor us. But MoviePass kind of pioneered this, especially when they made that price change. And, you know, did you say it, Trill? Was it about Napster? Did you say it to us about how like Napster? This is basically Napster. Like they pioneered the movement, and it's going to change the game, but they're going to be, you know, they're not going to be the ones that last in the end. At least that's what it looks like.
The concept is amazing. Just like the concept of Napster is amazing. The business model seems not sustainable. Just like the illegality of Napster was unsustainable. But the idea of downloading music over the internet is the, you know, pretty much what everybody does today. I think the way the movie going industry will go is more to a subscription based service, because it seems like it does seem like a better deal for people and families. I don't know how movie studios, or maybe not even movie studios, but companies like AMC, I don't know financially. I don't know how financially it looks for them. I don't know if this is just them kind of taking a hit on admissions and hoping the increase in volume increases concession sales, because I thought that's where all the money came from, concessions. Like I was always told that,
right?
Yeah, I was always told that theaters don't make any money, or they make a fraction on ticket sales and they get all of their own money on concessions. So it seems like, you know, would they have to take a loss on having the A-List to even get the volume through the theater? I don't know. It'd be interesting to have somebody on the podcast to discuss that, who knows more about the business.
What do you think the markup is on concessions items? Like 50%? Probably.
Well, markup compared to, I mean, okay. So I saw Mission Impossible yesterday. I got the large drink at AMC, just a large drink. It was $6.32 a tax. So it's a 32-ounce drink. I think you know, Ari, it's just water and syrup, but markup over a McDonald's soda is whole $5. So yeah. it's pretty significant. But again, you know, you have people captive. They want their treats in the movie. Get them in there. I just don't know how it works in terms of the ticket sales. It's something I wish I knew more about. Unfortunately, I got to stop talking about it there because I don't know anything about it.
I think this is good evidence of with MoviePass anyway, but being the first one to market isn't necessarily always the best thing. You want to make sure you have the best product and the best sustainability model before you do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and they were criticized from the get-go, but look, no matter what people say, I feel like we've seen more people in the theaters, and a big reason why is because they have those red cards. So, you know, sad end. I know we have a lot of audience members who are sad, but there's other theaters who have options, so definitely don't have you discouraged from going to see movies if you can't use MoviePass anymore. Some casting news. Two movies with some casting. One very big, the other not quite as big, but still a big tentpole. Star Wars. Some casting news there. Carrie Fisher, the big news. Well, Mark Hamill's back. Billy Dee Williams is back. But Carrie Fisher, they will be using footage from The Force Awakens, unused footage, and potentially Last Jedi. I don't know if they said Last Jedi as well. No, previously unreleased footage shot for The Force Awakens. So Carrie Fisher will be in it, despite the fact that Kathleen Kennedy last year said that she would not be. Then again, they did also fire a director. So they clearly changed course big time for whatever the hell Colin Trevorrow had set up. So great to see she's in it, because we always talked about how her being killed off would be super awkward, and just how they do that is, I mean, she's not going to retire, right? Like, same with like Captain America in Marvel. Like, he can't just fucking retire. I mean, he's going to have to die. You can't just like leave that role. So the same thing with Carrie Fisher with Princess Leia. So that's good to hear. Also being cast in the movie, some newcomers. You have Keri Russell was actually officially announced, I think, later in the evening after this. Oh, no, she was added to it. Richard E. Grant and Naomi Ackie as well. They're going to be added to it. So some good Star Wars casting news there. And then I'll let you guys get into your thoughts after I say the Charlie's Angels ones, because Elizabeth Banks is going to play Bosley. And then the other castings, Kristen Stewart's in it, Naomi Scott, who's in Power Rangers, but you will see her as Jasmine in the live-action Aladdin. That's where Will Smith is the genie. Very curious how that goes. And then a newcomer, as they say, Ella Balinski, or Balinska. So there's two big movies being cast, one obviously very massive. Star Wars Episode 9 comes out next winter, and Charlie's Angels is going to get underway. Trill, what do we think about both movies?
I don't have any takes on Episode 9. Nothing surprising in there. I mean, maybe the old footage for Carrie Fisher is surprising, but it's a good surprising because I think that's the solution most people wanted. I don't think anybody, it was beyond the pale to even think about recasting Leia, first off. So, yeah, don't go there. The second worry was CGI. You know, how are they going to try to do some CGI in a similar vein to how they did it in Rogue One? Maybe not in a similar vein, but would it look kind of weird and off? So I'm glad they're going with the older footage. I think that's the best solution available. I would love to see a behind the scenes on how that was developed. If the Episode 9 Blu-ray comes out whenever in, 2020 or 2019.
Yeah, 2020.
2020. Yeah, we get to that point and we're all just sitting here. Podcast has been canceled. Just all we have is our Blu-ray. And to see how they splice all that together. I don't really have any thoughts on Charlie's Angels. I like Elizabeth Banks, but I don't know that much about the other actresses.
Kristen Stewart thing is interesting.
Yeah. I like Kristen Stewart. I know a lot of people are anti-Kristen Stewart, but I think we defended her last week when we said her public persona is the way it is, because if you had to be in those dumbass movies and deal with those dumbass fans, like, you would be so avoidant of public life anyway. So I get it. And I think she's a good actress from what I've seen of her. And nothing will ever beat Robert Pattinson's role in that movie that ended in 9/11. So yeah, it'll be kind of
God damn, what was it called again?
Just through that, like, you will remember me or remember me.
Yeah,
or
something. Yeah, remember me.
What the fuck? That was so weird.
I only bring that up because that's now all I associate with Twilight. It goes from Twilight to Robert Pattinson to he was in the movie that ended in surprise, the 9/11 scene. It's just,
yeah.
Whoa.
What an awful, awful ending. Oh my God. By the way, if I sound better, it's because we switched my mic setting. So glad we figured we're big tech heads. Glad exactly. We figured that one out. Ken Jack.
We're gearheads here, yeah. I like all the new castings. Keri Russell is obviously an amazing actress. Naomi Ackie is going to be in the movie Yardie, which is directed by Idris Elba, which I blogged the other day. That movie looks insane. It's about it's a Jamaican and London set crime thriller, and she's going to be the star of it alongside a male counterpart. And that movie looks incredible. So I'm curious to see her and now this, and also Yardie, which is coming out later. As far as the returning cast, obviously you want Mark Hamill back. He's going to be a Force ghost. That's cool. Carrie Fisher, it's like you were saying, we don't want her to be like retired. That's weird. If in retrospect, do you think it would have been better to just have her have died in The Last Jedi instead of having that ridiculous like force back to the ship scene?
It'd have been nuts. I mean, people would have been more mad had she died right there than the fucking Mary Poppins thing. I would have been happy, I think,
personally, if she had died there.
Yeah, but the three of us, this is way to toot your own horn. The three of us are level-headed people, right? We're okay with that. Like, if that happens, like, yeah, we might be disappointed. But, I mean, remember how people were so mad that that's how Han Solo died. They were like, oh, he died like that. Like, that's just fell off a fucking cliff. He didn't even get to defend himself or fell off a bridge. So I think people would have been, I'd have been with you. Like, when she first was shot out of that ship, I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's insane. What a twist. But I don't think people would have received it well.
I will say this. Yeah, the one thing I do agree with the people who are very upset about Star Wars with is it's such a shame we did not get a scene with Han, Leia, and Luke together at one time in this And yep. And I get they couldn't have done that. Like they probably were going to do that, and then you know, Carrie Fisher unexpectedly passed away, and so yeah, you can't really complain about that because
J.J. Abrams killed Han Solo.
It's true.
I don't know.
But he wanted to die.
That's true. That's true.
That's a requirement for coming onto the movie.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, I want to die.
Yeah, right. That all happened before she passed away. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Okay. One thing about Luke though, what if he doesn't come back as a Force ghost? What if he's so strong he can rematerialize as sick.
Like Dr. Manhattan?
Yeah. Like what if he never actually died? What if he just like transcended existence and can rematerialize in a physical form? That's not going to happen, but that would be a J.J. Abrams thing to do, and I feel like that would completely repair a lot of goodwill lost with Last Jedi.
It's just
so he just learns how to become a Rick and Morty fan, you're saying.
It's just Luke, they're like that's Luke, and he's like, no, my name is Khan. Like one of the worst fucking reveals in recent memory from Star Trek.
Yeah. I'm not a Khan defender. I like Benedict Cumberbatch as Khan though.
He was good, but like the whole facade that it wasn't Khan.
Yeah.
And like JJ was like, it's not him. Stop. It's not him.
Dude, the idiots. Ken Jack, how fucking crazy would it be if Luke materialized and Kylo Ren's like, how did you do that? And Luke just goes, the Chaos Emeralds. And all the Chaos Emeralds appear behind him. And they tie in Sonic.
JJ just leans into
Chaos
like
Emeralds?
Internet memes. It's just fan an fan, internet yeah. meme movie. Yeah. All right. So that and Charlie's Angels. Charlie's Angels, interesting. Kirstie Naomi Scott, she's not been in much. She was in Power Rangers, which was not in a bad movie until the end. And then, of course, I want to establish that we're a pro Kristen Stewart podcast. Just want to lay that out there.
Yeah.
We all agree on that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that she gets an unreasonable amount of hate because people have this expectation that actresses need to be bubbly and whatnot, and she just has no time to fuck with like all that, which I like completely appreciate that.
Same.
Yep. And she's one of the examples of people we randomly talk about multiple weeks in a row. Like that doesn't always make sense, but yeah. So like, well, Willy Wonka had the longest stretch. That's currently that's the Cal Ripken of running news stories, which we talked about Willy Wonka for a very long time. So that is Star Wars and Charlie's Angels. We're done with Star Wars for now. Put a lid on it. Also, by the way, we have an interview in this episode. What a great host I am here. Not even setting that up. We have an interview with Patrick Renna, a.k.a. Ham Porter from The Sandlot. Ken Jack and I talked to him for about 15, 20 minutes. We're going to have that in the middle of this podcast, so should be a fun one. Ken Jack admitted to him that he doesn't like The Big Green, or like The Big Green wasn't on his top 10 list, and it was a pretty funny exchange. And then let's move on. Next bit of news, Slender Man, new Slender Man trailer. We kind of were anti-Slender Man trailer when it first came out. This is a new one. Opinions change. Do you want to see it more? Do you want to see it less? I want to see it even less. I think the fact they're making this fucking movie after this horrific actual real life event that happened not even half a decade ago, I think this is like it's exploiting it. Like, not to sound soft, you know, whatever, but I think it's stupid. I think it's just straight up stupid.
Oh, it's dumb as hell. My opinion has not changed. You need to reference in the specific time code where we talked about it before, because I don't think we could summarize it any better. Fuck this movie. And I don't say that a lot. I do not say that a lot in this podcast. You know, I'm very careful with saying bad about the brands and about the movies, but I do not like this movie. I do not like what they're doing with it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. The stabbing was only like 4 years ago, like you're saying. It's unnecessary. It's not like a famous enough event where you can whitewash it for the event of like, or for the profit of a movie theater. It's silly.
Like,
it's
even
a silly idea.
Even like Patriots Day, or what they call it, the Boston Marathon bombing movie, which was just insanely way too early to make a movie like that. There's actually been two of them, because there's the Stronger one, but that was
the Gyllenhaal one. Yeah,
that was nice. But even the Patriots one, like there's a positive story behind it, right? Like they talked about the heroes of it. In the moment of crisis, this is not that at all. This is just a fucking horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's truly messed up. Yeah. Big time here.
It's really, really easy to be cynical about movies and how movies get made and what movies they put forward. And I agree with a lot of that. And I think we do a good job on this podcast of talking about the joys of the movies, but this is one of these where I am just so cynical against this movie, the concept behind it, why it's being made, the character. I just don't like it. And it's not all due to what it's based off. Some of it's that, but it also just looks like a crappy movie.
Yeah.
And also, what's up? I didn't see this new trailer. I didn't watch it because I'm kind of doing a self-imposed boycott. I'll get to it.
Overlord.
There needs to, you know, when the plane explodes and then there's that effect that's like, wah, 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 and then it just goes like silent.
Yeah,
I feel like that's used in so many trailers and horror movie trailers. And I feel like we need to name that effect.
Okay.
It was in The Mummy too, I believe.
So
in the plane crash scene.
Yeah. Okay. So look it up. You don't know what we're talking about and tweet us. We're going to name that. Cause you know, like the Wilhelm scream, you know, the one that's always in movies. We'll name it. All right. Tweet us.
Let me try to find it here real quick. And we're not going to do any editing, but I just want to play it so people know what we're talking about.
Yeah. This is the first raw podcast.
Yeah.
Raw
long time.
Minus splicing in the interview. We have some
all
long
right, here it goes.
Bear with us. All right.
You hear that?
Put it closer.
All right.
Now I'm here. No idea where I'm going to end up.
That right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Like where the sound effects kind of go in and out, where it's like, wah, 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 and yep. Then it just like fades dark.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got to name it. Audience, name it. Give us some options. Moving on, Disney, Fox, it's done. Disney's going to get Fox. Comcast backed away, so no Universal for the X-Men. What did I almost say? I drew a blank, which is kind of ironic that I blanked on them because people are blanking on these movies. And there's a rumor, though it seems to have been disputed, but I still have to talk about it because we love talking about X-Men movies maybe getting canceled. There's a rumor that Disney was just going to cancel Dark Phoenix and New Mutants, which we do have a pretty sturdy opinion on this podcast that New Mutants will never come out. So that one, I believe, will get like, I believe that movie is going to get canceled or it's going to get thrown onto the Disney streaming service. I don't like Dark Phoenix. I could see being made, but the rumor is that they want to just restart that now that Marvel Studios has X-Men movies, they just want to restart and find a way to bring those in and bring those back. But this is a good time to talk about X-Men movies that'll never happen because Disney buying Fox, there's no way the Gambit movie ever gets made. But I also think that New Mutants is going to get canceled for sure.
There's like the implications for how the intellectual property gets handled. And then there's also the business implications for what this merger means for the film industry as a whole. So I think for like your favorite movies and your X-Men characters, it's probably good. But I think for the film industry and moviegoers, it's probably bad. And I just read some think pieces about it, and it just is the implications are like fewer movies, you know, less releases, you know, more media consolidation, things of that nature. I don't know enough about it, but I think it's a two-pronged thing. It's both good and bad at the same time, the idiot said.
That is very fair, though. Very fair.
Yeah. So they want to cancel New Mutants. Their Gambit is never going to happen. Sorry, Channing Tatum. They're going to get rid of Dark Phoenix. This is all based on the same rumor. And I think a smaller rumor that kind of slipped under the radar through the same exact leak was that the X-Force movie is going to be renamed Deadpool 3 X-Force. And they're going to loop in X-23 from Logan. And she's going to be part of X-Force within Deadpool, which I think is awesome.
That is cool. I like that.
Yeah, if they went forward with that, I think that would be great because I think X-23 was one of the coolest parts of Logan, and like her fight choreography and everything in Logan was insane.
I would guess that they find a way to use time travel and bring back Hugh Jackman's Wolverine.
Oh God, dude, what are they gonna do? Like facially reconstruct his face and like make him look younger, like they did in Logan, or?
I mean, I guess they could, but he's still such a suave looking guy. I feel like they can find a way to make it work where they go back in time to a certain point where he just looks like he does now.
I would like one Marvel and X-Men crossover movie with Hugh Jackman, but it'll probably never happen. It's too late for that.
Yeah, but I he wants it. So I feel like there is an option. Like it doesn't seem like a crazy idea, you know? So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I mean, if you told me I could have Vegas odds right now, on will New Mutants get released, I would say no. I would say that movie never sees theaters. I could be dead wrong. It's probably a bold take, but it just that movie is trending towards the wrong direction.
It feels like that's – I don't know how far along in the development process they are, but it feels like if something is not far along enough for it to be salvaged, then Disney would have no hesitation coming in and just stopping that shit. Looking at what they've done already, and they're like, nope, not up to Mickey's standards here.
The mouse.
Last bit of news, and we're going to move on. We were going to talk about Rumpelstiltskin with – I always laugh at that name. Absurd. I don't know much about Rumpelstiltskin. Kenjack was like, I don't know much about Rumpelstiltskin either. So we'll talk about that later in the week with Peter Dinklage. I want to talk about two horror movies or monster movies. One is Liv Tyler, potentially going to be in the Chucky remake or the Child's Play remake. And then that's kind of like the same thing as Frankenstein and Frankenstein's Monster. If you want to be a snob, you say, actually, it's not Chucky. It's Child's Play. So they're remaking that. And then The Creature from the Black Lagoon, which we've mentioned before because we have talked about the monster or the dark universe many times, the monster movies. And it's always a fun thing to talk about because they're just ridiculous. The Creature from the Black Lagoon. What that is, I mean, I guess they can make it scary, right? Like they can find a way, but that's got to be one of the least intriguing characters to try and bring back to like this current day and age, right? The fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon.
You know what they're, you know, they're, that's the thing is they're trying to take a recognized name. The problem is like people only recognize the name of the Creature from the Black Lagoon under the age of 40. People are like, I know that name because I've heard it before. They don't know that name because they've seen the fucking movie. And so I feel like this is one of those things. It's like they're trying to capitalize on something that's previously been made, but people know it, but they don't give a shit about it.
I mean, look at this fucking guy. I'm showing the video right now. Look at this stupid creature.
He's showing us a video of Andrew Luck right now.
He looks like a creature from like Fallout 3, like the PlayStation 3 Fallout video game.
It actually does. The bipod creature that like fucking is in New Vegas. You know what I mean? Fuck. Not the crab one, but like it looks like a human.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm thinking about. But they'll remake it and they'll make him look a lot more terrifying and probably 7'6" and handsome. He'll probably be handsome just like the Shape of Water fish. Because I think that's the trend is just handsome monsters, you know, thick monsters. Kind of sexy monsters. And but they're banking on this like brand recognition, I feel like, that nobody really gives a crap about. We all know who like Creature from the Black Lagoon is because we know it's a classic movie, but I don't care. I've never seen the movie. I just know what it is.
Should we place odds on if the creature's gonna have sex with a human woman during the movie?
I would say it doesn't. But
I would guess no too. Oh, it was a lake lurk, by the way, Trill, that I was thinking of. Because I knew it wasn't a mire lurk because they look like big ass crabs.
Yeah, the mire lurks are not human at all.
It's just
these aren't really real, but
it's just a stupid character. I hate it. Yeah, I hate the character.
Did you mention who's gonna be at the helm of it?
Oh, it's gonna be Max Landis, apparently.
Yeah. So
that's interesting. But yeah, Creature from the Black Lagoon. That may be a movie. Lastly, and the thing I just mentioned, Chucky. Is Chucky a terrifying character to you? And do you see them doing what they did with it? Now, Child's Play is considered like a good horror movie. So I do not want to compare it to the shitty It movie, like at all. With that said, like, do they find a way to make it more like the recent It? I feel like they will.
Well, have you seen any of the recent Chucky movies?
Yeah.
So they're not real horror movies. Like Bride of Chucky and Seed of Chucky or whatever it is, were not real horror movies. Like the original Child's Play movies were, but the more recent ones were not. They were just like tongue-in-cheek slashers that had like more stupid comedy. Like one of the movies had John Waters get murdered by Chucky, like as a cameo. And the other one had like Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah, Tilly's the one I remember.
The Jennifer Tilly voice doll. They tried to do a Julia Roberts Ocean's 12 thing where she tried to get into the body of the actual Jennifer Tilly as like a tongue-in-cheek reference. So I don't know what they're going to be doing with this specific Liv Tyler Chucky remake. If it's going to be a more serious movie, I'd like to see that more than I did like the Seed of Chucky and whatever, the more tongue-in-cheek ones. But I'd like to see them go back to the roots with the serious movie about the doll who kills people.
I should have said slasher, by the way, because it definitely is more of a slasher than like a traditional like.
Yeah.
But it's in that category. Ken Jack, you paint me as someone who could not be less interested in Child's Play and Chucky.
Yeah, that's correct. I think dolls are very creepy in general, but I think Chucky itself just never really hit the mark for me as far as creep or making me scared. It's definitely creepy. It's a creepy little doll, but it never made me like, oh my God, this is like gripping my chair right now at fucking Chucky. And I guess that's not the point because like you were saying, Joe, it's more tongue-in-cheek than like a genuine horror, more slasher than that. But I don't know. Just never did it. I liked other dolls when I was younger instead. Inflatable ones. You guys should make a movie about an inflatable doll.
Lars and the Real Girl. Did you see the Puppet Master series? You talk about a horrible fucking slasher movie series. Puppet Master sucks.
Now, let me ask you this about Chucky. Is Ready Player One a Chucky movie?
No.
No.
No. It's not a Battletoads movie.
We're going to ask. So when Jared Carabas comes on, he's going to Jared Carabas is going to review Halloween. He's a Halloween super fan. And we're going to rank top 10 horror movies. But he is of the belief that Space Jam is a baseball movie. And this is like not like a bit. Like he is dead fucking serious and will fight this to the death. So we'll have to ask him a couple like is blank a blank movie questions when he comes on. Because Space Jam is not a baseball movie. I'll entertain the joke to piss people off, but I mean it's not a bit. It's as much of a golf movie as a baseball movie. You could argue it's more of a golf movie.
We should inform him that Fever Pitch sucks. Is what we should really do.
I bet he
that's
hates
a widely known fact.
I'll have to ask him. All right, that's news. Quickly before we move on, this episode brought to you in part by SeatGeek. That's right. If you listen to Barstool Podcast, you know a lot about SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for a last-minute deal to see your favorite team, Broadway show. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices. We all have the SeatGeek app. Easiest way possible to get tickets. We just recently used SeatGeek to buy tickets. We all bought tickets for Cats. Kenjack never seen Cats.
Seen Cats. And I saw Cats. Oh, let me tell you, it was delightful.
Yeah. We're playing the song right over this right now, Mr. Mistopheles.
It's magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Kenjack kept yelling Bustopher during the entire show. It was rude, but he did.
Bustopher Jones. It's like the best name ever invented, really.
We're trying to get the Cats to break character.
Fuck you, Bustopher. Best of all, though, our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. I used someone else's promo code back in March. I got Big East tickets. Very worth it. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LIGHTS, LIGHTS. Enter promo code LIGHTS. That's promo code LIGHTS for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Broadway shows. If we were sponsored, I would have got this for Book of Mormon, which I highly recommend. Highly recommend. Especially if you like South Park stuff, if you like Matt Stone and Trey Parker. It is one of the most inappropriate movies, or one of the most inappropriate things I've ever seen in my life, in like all the best ways. It's very funny.
Are they going to do a movie version of that, you think?
I don't think so. Somebody asked me this the other day. I forget who it was. I don't think they will. Like, I feel like they're not the type of guys to do that. Like, they made the South Park movie, sure, but I feel like they like doing different, like, I feel like they like branching out in different ways. Because that's when they Team America. They, I mean, they love musicals. Everything they've done, not South Park's a musical, and South Park in itself has musical moments, so.
Yeah, but they also probably love money. And so that seems like that would make money. So I'd like to see that. I like the movie musicals. I'd like to see more of them. I don't know how much I want to see Cats. Cats is very old. Cats is a very, very old musical.
It's a very hard show to follow. It's super, super British. Like, it is very British. And so it's a little hard to follow. But the musical stuff is delightful. The Rum Tum Tugger, Mr. Mistopheles, Bustopher Jones. Delightful dude, Cats.
Dude, the Bustopher Jones song is hilarious because at the start they just start roasting him. Just here, let me play it real quick. Listen.
Bustopher Jones is not skin and bone.
They call him fat.
He's remarkably fat.
They just straight up call him Seth.
Dude, and he's got a massive spoon. He's got big food. Remember, I mean, so if you haven't seen the show, they play like it's to scale. So like they're the size of cats. Like everything else is massive. And so he's got this big spoon and all this food.
He's just food. Second line, call him fat. They like call him fat two times. They say he's not skin and bones. And they say, in fact, he's incredibly fat. And Buster for Jones comes out like, oh, I'm Buster for Jones.
I like how James Corden, please.
Yeah, James Corden. Gotta play Buster for Jones. I like, though, how subtle it is about his weight. And then they just hammer him in the next line. They just like, ah, fuck it. They just ether him. They just fat.
In fact, he's incredibly fat. Oh, well, you didn't have to go that far.
Hi, guys. I'm James Corden playing Buster for Jones. I'm overweight. Ding.
Instead of saying incredibly fat, can we perhaps say plump?
Husky, please.
I guess who's with me today? It's Chris Martin for Carpool Karaoke.
Didn't he do a sidewalk or crosswalk show of cats? I wonder who he played. I gotta look that up. I'll look it up for the end of the episode. All right, audience questions. Well, not really. Actually, we're gonna record our audience questions right now, but you're gonna hear an interview with Ken Jack and I talking to Ham Porter, aka Patrick Renna from Sandlot, The Big Green. He's in the Netflix show Glow now. So here it is, our interview with Patrick Renna.
All right, interview time. Lights, Camera, Barstool. We're joined by Patrick Renna. Ed, you know him as Ham Porter from Sandlot. 25 years, 25th anniversary. Thanks for joining us.
Can you believe it?
I mean, I can't. I feel like, but you really probably can't believe it.
You know, sometimes it feels like forever, and sometimes it feels like yesterday. So it's a little of both.
So we're going to change it up on you for a second here. Because I feel good. Like something tells me you've been talking about the Sandlot a lot recently.
Yeah, a little bit here and
so
there.
So we're going to go to another sports movie.
Okay.
Ken Jack over here. He did a ranking of soccer movies recently.
Wow, and where did it come in?
So
what was number one?
So number one in my
Ladybugs?
List was the Damned United was my number one.
Okay.
It was just in the closing day of the World Cup, and I was like, I'm going to do top 10 rankings of soccer movies. I'm going to make it dramatic ones that got like Oscar nods and all this stuff, and it was a very serious list, right?
And then, I don't know that anyone's ever done this in the history of film. This is I like this. This is original.
It was very, very serious, and people got very mad that The Big Green was not included.
Didn't even include it.
It was just not in my top 10.
Don't hold back.
No,
don't.
I want to thank you guys for having me on the show. And I gotta run.
So I had a top 10 list. It was very serious. And then I had an honorable mentions where it's like all these movies are all really great soccer movies, but they're not like in the same vein as far as seriousness. Because The Damned United, which is my number one, very, very serious. Like Green Street Hooligans, not in the same like as far as seriousness goes, but it's like very dark. And I was like, I don't think it really fits the same area. And I got torched for not putting it on in the top 10. It was wild.
Sometimes I get hate texts about like, why aren't you talking about The Big Green? Why is it all Sandlot?
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's crazy.
It's intense.
And I took out some of the feedback that I got
from
our audience. So I'll read some out for you. Without The Big Green, your credentials mean nothing anymore. The Big Green is an honorable mention. Credentials revoked, Ken Jack. I clicked this to make sure that you included The Big Green. Of course you didn't. Your opinion is now irrelevant forever.
Oh my God.
This list is invalid without the two best soccer movies of all time, Mean Green and Ladybugs. Did this dude really leave out The Big Green, get the fuck out, and never come back, idiot?
That's the best one.
Wow.
Very passionate.
Yeah, I told you.
Well, we're glad that we're talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, movies are a passionate thing, and soccer is too.
Do you have a favorite, though? Like, if you had to pick between The Big Green or The Sandlot, like, if you go back in time, they're like, no, you can only do one.
I ain't going against The Big Green now. After hearing all that, you ain't getting nothing out of me. I'm a steel trap over here. You know, listen, Sandlot was basically my first job. And it's obviously become something more than most movies become. So it's kind of hard to not put Sandlot up there as one of the favorites. But The Big Green was a great time. And I met Steve Guttenberg on The Big Green. I did a movie with him, like a fun little movie a couple years back, too, and got to see him. I also filmed The Big Green with Chauncey, who was Squints on Sandlot. So
yeah.
That was our second of three movies we did together over the year. So it's definitely up there. We had a great time.
It is 25 years of Sandlot, so we will talk about the Sandlot briefly. You've been going to a lot of games and stuff. That's been everywhere. I mean, yeah. That's got to be a great part of this.
It's been amazing. You know, I've gone to a couple minor leagues and major leagues, and it's really cool to even see minor league parks, because that's not an experience that I've ever really had. But major leagues, everyone gets that experience. But and obviously major leagues is incredible. But yeah, it's been amazing. I get to go to the Dodgers, the Angels, Mets, Yankees, you know, come on.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to the Red Sox too, which is my home team in a couple weeks.
We're gonna get to Boston in a minute. I got a Boston question I really want to answer.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
So got to talk about the iconic line. You're killing me, Smalls.
Yes.
Is there a point that you ever got sick of hearing it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, it's why you act, to do something that stands the test of time. So it's people say it because they love it. So it's then an honor, and it's humbling, you know?
Do people I assume people ask you to do it though, so never really get sick? Because we joke around, like Chadwick Boseman after Black Panther, every time we were telling him, they're like, do the thing. And he always does the Wakanda forever. I feel like at some point you're like,
yeah, well, give Chadwick 10 years and see if he does the thing, you know? I think I haven't really gotten too sick of it. I try not to recite it too much, because it's me 25 years later. So it's got a different, a different sound to it, and it's not the same. So, but it's great. They usually recite it to me, so it works out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could be in another kid's sports movie, what would you be in? Like, if you could have any choice, it could be Space Jam, it could be anything you want.
One that's already been filmed.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% The Goonies.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, you said sports film, though, so I guess I didn't narrow it down.
Probably a better pick, though.
Well, that's one of my favorite movies of all time. Goonies is my Sandlot.
Oh, wow. That's a great movie.
Yeah. That's the one that I've watched 100 times and never gets old. And I own it, and I was flipping through channels the other day, and it just was on, and I just watched it, which is so funny to think of, because it felt so much more special to stumble upon it, although I could just turn on my Apple TV and play it at any time. But it just is, it's so good, you know?
This is the Boston question.
Okay.
So, Patriots.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A Tom Brady movie.
Oh, my God.
So this
Hold
is...
on. Let me wipe my tears right now. I don't care what, anything with Tom Brady, I'll do.
So, a Tom Brady movie. You're obviously in it. What's your role, and who would you put as Tom Brady? Who would you put as Bill Belichick?
Oh, so Tom Brady's not in it, but I have to.
You have to cast Tom Brady.
Okay.
And then what role would you play? And why is it a great slot receiver?
I would play. I would probably play Gronk.
Love it.
I think, right?
Great pick. Yeah.
I'm not ripped enough to play Edelman, so I couldn't do that. And who would play Tom Brady would probably be played by Mike Vitar, Benny the Jet. I mean, it makes sense. And then Belichick. Oh my God. Jack Nicholson should be Belichick.
Ooh.
100% Jack should be Belichick.
I like that pick.
Right?
He's got that.
I mean, Brad Pitt, all jokes aside, is probably Tom Brady, because he's the greatest quarterback and the most good looking sports player of all time. So you get like a Brad Pitt with the flowing hair. And they've also done the long hair, they've done the shaved head, they do it all. So you go Brad Pitt for Brady, and you go Jack for Belichick.
Yeah.
But who's Bob Kraft? Maybe Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, that is a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
You just get the best in there.
You do have to get the best. I mean, that's a dynamite Boston movie.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine? That's basically like Boston Avengers. That's basically the playoff down to.
It is.
Maybe you do the Boston Cinematic Universe, and you do a Red Sox movie.
Then you do the origin stories of Edelman and everything. Yeah.
I actually can't believe there's not a Red Sox 2004 movie. Like, nowadays...
Well, there's the... Pitch. Yeah, but there's also documentaries
True.
And stuff.
But I feel like nowadays there's a biopic or something from a real event after like a month after it happens.
Yeah. That was unreal.
So you're also in a Netflix show, Glow?
Yes.
So I really want to get your opinion on Netflix here, because we always talk about MoviePass, the new AMC thing, streaming. Do you think Netflix has a chance to push? This got
take
very
over
real,
the world.
By the way. Yeah. To not just take over the movie industry, but just like
the world.
Are theaters in trouble?
You know, here's the thing. I don't know that theaters are in trouble because... I was talking to Tom Guyrie Smalls, and he's actually in New York with me, so we've been hanging out a bit. But he said he saw Sandlot in the theater, and the things that you pick up in the theater that you'd miss on your TV screen, he said there were so many little things like that. And I think because of that, it's you're never the theaters are never gonna be fully in trouble. And there aren't they still having like record breaking months and things like that?
Yeah, for sure.
I think what's in trouble is like network TV and things like that, like Amazon and Hulu and Netflix. Those guys are this sort of new get it when you can platform, I think, is going to wipe out TV as we know it. But I don't think movie theaters, there's nothing like popcorn and soda. And it's like a ball game, you know?
You're talking a big popcorn guy, right?
Yeah, oh my God. Do you have arc lights out here?
I don't know.
You got to go to LA and go to the arc lights because their popcorn is so next level that you can't even eat popcorn anywhere else.
Oof.
It's so good.
Is it one of those fancy theaters?
Yeah, it is.
So do you like fancy theaters more than traditional?
No. It's not a fancy. It's not okay. Those. It's not the lay down. I hate those, actually.
Well, yes, I do too.
I saw Lincoln in that, and I passed out hour two and slept the rest of the movie. And Lincoln is incredible.
If you slept the rest of the movie, that means you had a 10-hour nap?
Yeah, I had a 2-hour nap, and I was awake for an hour of it. I fall asleep in every single lay down theater. ArcLight is right in the middle. It's not, you know, it's not like an AMC, which is just your standard run-of-the-mill theater, and it's not gold class or whatever the hell they're called. They're awful. I hate them. Mm-hmm. It's like you bring me a slider and a, some ice cream over a hot fudge brownie thing. Fuck off.
If you're eating a buffalo chicken salad or any type of salad while you watch them, like imagine going to like a big fast-paced action movie and you're sitting there like picking through your salad.
And then they bring me Reese's Pieces, like the little ones, in a martini glass. Oh. I almost threw it against the wall. It's not right.
So last thing, you just mentioned this. You said picking things out of Sandlot. Is there something that if someone were to rewatch Sandlot that may not be a common thing? Like something that to you is special that the average audience or the average fan doesn't see?
You know, the funny thing is I haven't seen Sandlot very many times. I'll always watch myself once or twice just to make sure I didn't suck. Not that there's anything I could do at that point because it's already embedded in film history forever. But so I don't really know. But the one fun fact is when we filmed in Salt Lake City in the summer, it was like 105, 110 degrees, and then the pool scene they happened to film when it was like 60 degrees randomly. So if you watch closely, we're all chattering.
Wow.
We're all shivering and chattering, and you can see goosebumps on some of us. It was so cold.
That's incredible.
So that's a little fun fact of the Sandlot.
See, I would never notice that because that looks like such a summer scene. We were actually talking yesterday. We did a summer movie blockbuster bracket.
Yeah.
We were talking about like the Sandlot came out in April, so we can't put it in there. But
right. You
think of summer, especially the pool scene.
Yeah, summer, 4th of July, the whole thing. Look at Chauncey squints, and he's like shivering the whole time. And you think it works so well because he's nervous and the whole thing, but he was so cold.
That's great.
Yeah, wow. So that's a little fun fact.
Well, we appreciate you sitting down with us. And
now
we're glad we have another anti-lay-down movie theater.
Okay, well, you're glad you have another anti-lay-down.
Do you like them?
I like the lay-down theaters.
You like that's naps.
I like it
because
we have a nice leather thing. I can't fall asleep anywhere. I can't fall asleep on a plane. I can't fall asleep in a theater. I just can't fall asleep in general. So I like it because I just lay down. There's plenty of space. You're not getting cramped. There's no like space issues, which we have a ton when we go to see blockbusters the night of all the time.
Then you would like ArcLights because ArcLights is really nice seats. It's right in the middle. It's a perfect middle. You're not laying down, but you're not like sharing arm space with
Sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
All right, pick a movie. We'll come out to L.A. We'll go see something at ArcLight.
What's coming out soon?
You should go First Man. I think it's debuting.
First Man, Ryan Gosling, the Neil Armstrong movie.
Oh my gosh! Damian All right, Chazelle. Let's do it. Let's go see it.
Okay,
we'll go to ArcLight. It's on me.
It's a date. Thanks again.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks to Patrick again. That was fun. Him going in on the lay down movie theaters was my favorite part. I just love that. Love how much he hates those.
Now.
You want to try what?
That cinema chain he mentioned.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good popcorn. Cinemark. I don't remember.
Cineflix. I made that up. Okay. Audience question.
Buddy Pounds. Shout out.
Buddy Pounds will be making an appearance, I think, for Christopher Robin. Right.
He's got to.
Cinema Pigs? Yeah, he might be back.
Oh, that fat bear with its plump ass. Ooh.
All right, audience questions. Let's start it out.
Honey with a U.
Is the Mission Impossible franchise
better than James Bond and Jason Bourne now?
Pound for pound. Ooh. Movie for movie? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just, it's tough because of historical significance, but I'd say yes, personally.
I think, okay, yeah, they're not going to be more significant than James Bond. But in terms of better, a better movie series, movie for movie, I'd take Mission Impossible every day than James Bond. Because I feel like James Bond is shooting maybe, or batting maybe 333.
Yeah,
and I feel like Mission Impossible is like 666 or higher.
Dude, Mission Impossible is like, it's like 5 for 6, really. Like, the John Woo, the second one, is the only one that's like very almost like, ugh. And even then, it's still just a clumpy masterpiece, if that makes sense.
Hold yeah, on, I'm dividing 5 by 6.
I like the Bourne movies a lot.
83.
The most recent two Bourne movies are not good. They're just not good movies. Jeremy Renner one and then the new Matt Damon one. I think that's tough. I can't say that anymore. I like the last couple Mission Impossibles, but I would still prefer Bourne. I don't anymore. Mission Impossible Fallout is my favorite out of all these series. Yeah. I mean, by the way, we didn't really have talked about it yet. We've all seen it. And if you've seen Ken, Jack, and I, we reviewed it on BarstoolSports.com. Trill saw it. We haven't really talked about Trill's stuff publicly, but Trill, you fucking loved it too. I mean, this, honest to God, is one of the best action movies I've ever seen. Like, without question.
It's a blast. Really good movie.
IMAX. Gotta see it in IMAX. But yeah, we agree on Mission Impossible. All right, I like this question. What fictional movie sport would you most want to play? And I'll allow dodgeball to be answered because there really is no like insane dodgeball tournament like that on ESPN. So fictional. I got to pick basketball.
Got to be basketball.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, like those games just look a lot of fun. Like, I'm sure you could set up basketball, but you got to be in that little basketball stadium with the uniforms. I'd love to be in that. It'd be fun.
I'm trying to think of other games I might have heard of, but I feel like it's going to end up being basketball anyway. Maybe pod racing.
Is there going to be pod racing's a good one. Is there going to be a spike ball movie at some point? You guys play spike ball?
I love spike ball, dude. I know it's like a douchey received sport, but it gets so much fun. I love it.
What about Ender's Game? Does Ender's Game count as a sport when it turns out they're really killing real people?
I feel like no.
I'm looking up some on the list here. Obviously, Quidditch. Quidditch is a big one.
Dude, fuck Quidditch. It's so dangerous.
Hold on a second. This doesn't fictional sports isn't.
They only have fucking seatbelts on those brooms. It's so dangerous.
The number one on this list is croquet.
Croquet is very real.
The real fucking from Alice in Wonderland. That's like have you seen the Twitter meme? Or like the tweet where the guy's like, oh my God, they turned cars into a real thing, like from the movie Cars and like actual cars. Like that's basically what this article is like. It's like, oh my God, that's a real thing. I mean, it's a complete real sport. And then the other one is on this list that I'm surprised Ken Jack didn't pick. It's Flonkerton from The Office. I'm so shocked you didn't pick anything from The Office.
Yeah. It was in my running for me.
Was that the one off the wall? No, it's the race with the full boxes. The game off the wall was the best one with Oscar and Kevin. Whatever that one was. That was the best game. Fuck Flonkerton.
I'm trying to think of more. There's someone like Dom Jot in Star Trek would be cool, but I don't know if that was in any of the movies. But it was good in the show.
But basketball is the one for me. Dodgeball would be a lot of fun. That'd be a blast. It's such a small little like area and arena. But basketball is just, I'm shocked basketball like doesn't exist in like an actual capacity. Like, I'm sure there's some amateur shit around the country, but like in a real capacity, I'm very surprised it doesn't exist. It'd be a blast. And it's not hard to make those arenas either, or those stadiums or a setup. All right, next one. Who would win in a fight? Tom Hanks, Captain Phillips, or Tom Hanks, Captain Sully? Hand-to-hand combat. Who would win? I'm going Sully.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Look at his Sully versus look at Captain Phillips.
Sully's like 30 years older than Captain Phillips.
Is he?
They're both real people. So I guess I can look this up.
All right, Sully's, I'm going to give it to Google.
Okay, you look up Captain Phillips. I'll look up Sully Sullenberger. Sully Sullenberger.
I'm looking up Captain Phillips.
Sully Sullenberger. Sully Sullenberger was the former coach of Florida Atlantic football. Don't look that up. It's a true story.
So, real Captain Phillips is 63.
Ooh, 67. Sully Sullenberger is 67.
Wasn't Sully a Marine or something like that?
Oh, he's a fighter. He flew.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so what does that help you in hand-to-hand combat with?
Wait, so was he in the Air Force or was he in the Navy in his military service fighting? I was in the Air Force. He went to the Air Force Academy. I don't know, man. I don't know how that helps you in hand-to-hand combat, but to someone like me, a civilian, I'll go with that. Now, Captain Phillips went to like a maritime naval school or something like that, so maybe he can get dirty. So I don't want to belittle his experience. They both seem like badasses, but in terms of the Tom Cruise character, I feel like Tom Cruise svelted down a little bit for Sully versus Captain Phillips, and I feel like he just has that cardio. They, you know, the Rough and Rowdy, not to promote Rough and Rowdy, no free, well, I guess, yeah, actually free ads. but all these fighters get gassed because they have no physical conditioning. And just a little bit of physical conditioning goes a long way. You could take an ass kicking. I feel like Sully could take an ass kicking, come back in the third round.
Well, look at it this way. Captain Phillips managed to actually IRL defeat a bunch of Somali pirates. And Captain Sully, all he had to do was fight a bunch of geese because he was a dumbass that ran into him.
Dude, no, his landing in the Hudson, if you actually study it, had like a 5% chance that nobody died on that.
You know what he should do next time? He should not run into a bunch of geese, and then he won't run into that problem.
But the instincts on the landing, I think he has the better instincts there. And let's not say Captain Phillips defeated Somalian pirates. Let's not say Navy SEALs did that.
The pirates are all dead, aren't they?
That pirate looked him directly in the eyes and said, he's the captain now, and he just fucking stood there and took it in the movie.
Look, he didn't get cooked by this pirate. Yes, the ship did get handed over to the Somali pirates at that point, but in the end of the day, or at the end of the third day of the standoff or whatever, who was alive and who wasn't? I'll tell you what, Captain Phillips escaped, and he's now still, I think, a MARSEC driver. But
if you tell me Captain Phillips has the Navy SEALs with him, then sure, I'll take Captain Phillips, but it's just one-on-one.
Yeah, well, then I guess when we have this hand-on-hand fight, I'll just give Captain Phillips like a handful of geese when he goes to fight fucking – or a flock of geese to go fight whatever that bullshit-ass Captain Sully-ass name guy. Fuck him. Fuck Sully.
No, we're talking about the Tom Hanks characters, by the way, not the real people.
So it's Tom Hanks versus Tom Hanks? It's not the actual people?
It's their portrayals, and so we're incorporating their background into them. But I don't want to pit the real Captain Phillips against the real Tom or Sully. I want to take the Tom Hanks characters.
The best part about Sully was when he goes to the bar at the end.
Hey, it's you cockeyed motherfucker. It's Sully. Hey, it's Sully. I know this guy.
Remember that character?
I don't remember that character.
I can't believe Rappaport didn't win an Oscar for that role. Stunning. Stunning. Look, this podcast, we're not too brutal on people. But every now and then we have that one line where we say, fuck somebody. I didn't expect Sully Sullenberger to be one of those people one day. That was a
dumbass name. Sully Sullenberger. Sounds like a cat's name.
It's not as
Sully Sullenberger is amazing.
He got beat by a bunch of geese.
Birds took
his plane down.
I stand for Sully.
His real name is Chesley Burnett Sullenberger.
Oh, my God. Fuck this guy. Come on. You can't stand for this guy.
I stand.
You can't fucking stand for Sully.
All right. If you're a good audience member, tweet us. Sully Sullenberger, Captain Phillips. That's all it takes. And I'm sure we'll do a call out for it tomorrow, I'm sure. All right. Moving on. How did Ken Jack finally get the new Twitter handle at Ken Jack? Do you want to tell a story, Ken Jack? And then we got one more after this. We're going to do Mount Rushmore of Tom Cruise. Well, actually, we don't have the rights to the word Mount Rushmore, so we'll figure something out. But how did Ken Jack get the new Twitter handle at Ken Jack?
So the story was I was able to track down the guy who owns it, whose name is Ken Jackson, which many people actually think my name is. I was able to track him down with the help of a hacker. I just went to his house and politely asked him I had brought some security guys with me, just please hand over the at right now or these people are going to beat you up. And lo and behold, he didn't even know he had the Twitter account anymore because he had made it in 2009 and never tweeted or retweeted or liked or done anything with it. So he handed it over, didn't even ask for payment. It was very nice of him. And now today I have at Ken Jack and he has nothing because he's a loser that makes Twitter accounts and never uses them.
Yeah, it's a true story. Really, it was a shakedown. Coley, Tyler, you. Yeah, it really
got some
happened.
Goons with me.
Yeah, Yeah. It wasn't Twitter just giving you the account. It was you really chased this man down. Yeah.
It was pure out muscle.
Yeah, that's how he got it. Last thing. Actually, no, before we do the Tom Cruise thing, somebody every single week and on our Reddit as well and on Twitter asks us if we like Rat Race. This person also asks who we would pick if we were to recast Rat Race. And we did Movie Crushes for Part of My Take, and they picked the character from Rat Race. So the dedication here is incredible. And I must say, we need to answer this very quickly. Do we like the movie Rat Race?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pro Rat Race. And you know what? I used to just be okay with it. Now I love it just because of this one person.
I'm a pro John Lovitz guy.
Yep.
He apparently, have you ever heard of his stand-up?
He's had the tendency to get very crass on the stand-up mic.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Is like his stand-up's almost like unbearable how like crass it is.
He had a really weird set at the roast of Bob Saget. It was an interesting set. Who Greg Giraldo killed that one. Rest in peace, my favorite comedian, Greg Giraldo.
Great roastmaster or whatever.
Was that the one Norm Macdonald got up and just started telling anti-jokes at?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah.
You know, it's like, Bob, you have a lot on your mind. People say a lot on your mind because you're wearing a hat or something like that. It's very funny. And the audience did not get it. And it was very funny. He said, like Bob, you have a lot of well-wishers and also people that want to throw you down one. And like nobody really said anything. He's like, oh, well, they want to throw you in a well. Yeah,
the whole dais was losing it. And the audience was like kind of like nervously laughing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Bob Saget thought it was like, I think he had interviewed or said something like, thought it was one of the funniest things he's ever heard. It was very funny, if you like that stuff.
Didn't Mr. Bean play Mr. Bean in Rat Race? But like, it wasn't actually Mr. Bean. Like his character, I remember literally, because remember the heart transplant scene and everything? Like he basically just played Mr. Bean.
What was his name? Rowan Atkinson is the actor's name.
Enrico Pollini.
That was his name, Enrico Pollini?
Yeah.
A simple-minded narcoleptic Italian tourist.
The scene at the heart transplant with Wayne Knight was very funny.
Yeah.
Like he used to juggle the heart.
So Mr. Rat Race guy, I forget what your Twitter handle is. Tweet us and we'll give – just tweet us saying I'm the Rat Race guy with the Rat Race gif and you'll get a retweet. But don't put our handles first. Do the tweet and then put our handles. That way we'll give you a little shout-out. All right, last thing. We don't have the rights to the word Mount Rushmore. So we're doing – the Statue of Liberty of Tom Cruise movies. Don't try and ask how that makes sense or if that works. This is what we're going with. So we'll do it a draft style. Just pick your movie, four of them each, and then we'll put it out on Twitter, see who has the best one. Kenjek, you go first. What's your first pick?
I'm going to go Mission Impossible Fallout.
Ah, goddammit.
I'm going to cuck all three or both two of you right in front of my face. Sorry, but it was still good. And so I'm in the honeymoon phase still right now. I've watched it twice, love it so much, and I've just got to be there. Sorry.
Okay. Trebons, what's your first Tom Cruise pick?
Rain Man.
Rain Man. Okay.
Deep cut, but probably one of the better movies he's ever done. He plays a huge asshole in the movie and plays it very well.
Remember when Dennis Blank farted in the telephone booth? That was unscripted. He actually did it. Not joke, like it actually happened.
Good movie. I don't know what you said. Mr. Belvedere sat on his balls. I don't know where to go with that.
I'm going to pick Edge of Tomorrow. That's my first Tom Cruise pick. Audience gets two in a row. Top Gun and a Few Good Men. Top Gun and a Few Good Men for the audience. I got the next pick, Snake Draft. I'm going Tropic Thunder. Great role in Tropic Thunder.
Great role.
Dynamite role as Les Grossman, which they were supposed to make a Les Grossman movie. They never did. Wonder if that'll happen. Trebons, you got the next pick.
I'm going with Bourne on the 4th of July. I'm taking the corner on some of these prestige 80s Tom Cruise movies.
Okay.
Some of the best roles he's ever been in terms of he always does a great job acting. That's the thing about Tom Cruise is he always turns in like 115% of his effort despite the shittiness of the movie. And he's been in some stinkers too.
Yeah, true.
All right, Ken Jack, you got two in a row.
I'm going to go Jerry Maguire, number one. Academy Award winning Jerry Maguire, by the way. 96. 96 is a good year for him. He got Mission Impossible and Jerry Maguire in the same year. So I'm going to do that. And it's really killing me to not take Mission Impossible 1 with my last pick.
Take it.
But No, I don't want to do two.
Well, you got two more picks.
Oh, we were doing four?
Yeah, so you gotta, I mean, you may as well take it.
No, I'm gonna take Collateral. I love Collateral.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
yeah.
It.
Remember the club great fight villain. Scene? Down. Can we play that as the outro song? I love that song.
Great fucking villain.
The club fight song.
Trill, sorry. What's your next pick? Your third pick?
Minority Report? Was that taken?
No, it was not.
That was a movie where he hammed it up, but it really worked well for him.
Yeah, he did ham it up. So Minority Report is your pick. My next pick, this is tough. I got to go with a Mission Impossible movie. I don't want to go with the original, though, because I like the other ones better. I'm going to go Rogue Nation. Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. That's my Mission.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's my Mission Impossible pick. Audience, their next two picks. Let's see here. They have, you pick Jerry Maguire. That one was picked. Rain Man was picked. The Last Samurai is one of their next ones. That's their third pick. The Last Samurai. And then the last pick from the audience is, Collateral was picked. Let's see here. We're going with Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible was their last one, the original one. My last pick for the Statue of Liberty of Tom Cruise movies, I'm going with a real deep cut here. He was barely in the movie. Barely in it. Austin Powers in Goldmember.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good scene. He played Austin. Yeah. The whole beginning, though there is a very problematic person in that scene playing Dr. Evil.
Yes, there is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Trebon's your last pick, and then Ken Jack, your last one. Then we're going to wrap up this podcast.
Color of Money.
Ooh. Mm.
Paul Newman jam. So I think I got three 80s Tom Cruise movies in here, but they're great movies. He was on a roll in the 80s. Obviously he was, because that really established him as the powerhouse actor he is today.
So, Color of Money. Ken Jack, your last one.
I'm going to go Jack Reacher. I like Jack Reacher.
Oh, you might go Ghost Protocol. But you might go Ghost Protocol.
I thought about it. I think Jack Reacher, I don't think it was Macquarie. I think he did the Jack Reacher Never Go Back. But it's a great movie. It's basically just a Mission Impossible movie, more or less. Just espionage spy thriller, but it's great. It's great. Fun time. I was considering that, but I was going to actually say Top Gun first, but I think Top Gun was taken, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Top Gun was taken by the audience, yeah. So here are the Statue of Liberty of Tom Cruise movies. Audience, Top Gun, A Few Good Men, The Last Samurai, Mission Impossible 1, Ken Jack, Mission Impossible Fallout, Jerry Maguire, Collateral, Jack Reacher, Trill Bolland's Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, Minority Report, Color of Money, and I had Tropic Thunder, Edge of Tomorrow, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Austin Powers and Goldmember. And check out
who has the highest average Rotten Tomato aggregate. I bet
yours probably does, but your list stinks. Your list puts me to fucking sleep.
I don't. That's if anyone picked Cocktail, they would have lost. Cocktail's a 5%.
I can't believe that.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll average it out. We'll put it on the graphic we'll make, and then everyone votes for it. We got some good stuff to put on.
By we, you mean you? Yeah.
All right. So check out Part of My Take, as I'm sure most already do. Mount Rushmore of movie character crushes. We're about to go record that. About to go walk upstairs and Trill's just going to transfer over. And, that's really it. We're reviewing this week. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. We're reviewing Mission Impossible Fallout this week. Donnie came and saw it with Ken Jack and I and our intern, not our intern, one of the interns, Bulldog, aka Jake the Rake. He went and dog sit for PFT's dog after the movie. So really eventful weekend for him. Maybe we'll have him pop on. Maybe we'll make him give a one sentence review. That's like what the interns get to do. But also with Donnie, we're going to play the foreign movie titles game again, which I'm very excited for because that was a blast last time. And we're going to do a segment that was suggested on Reddit, which I really like. If you could grow up middle school through high school with three best friends, who would they be? But you have to pick movie characters. So three movie characters to be your best friends growing up middle school through high school. So that'll be a fun. I might do four. That'll be a fun one. That's really it. That's it. Anything else before we wrap this one up?
Yeah, I got one thing. Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind, the HBO original documentary. It's on HBO. You got to check it out. It's fucking great. I said the F word a lot today. I'm in an F word mood, but... Oh my God. The man was a genius, comedic genius. Very, very sad movie too. Sad documentary, I should say, but it's a great one.
especially if you like docs.
Nice. And as serious, just as serious news, I'll be in Atlantic City this week. All right, sign us off.
Also, let me just say, if it wasn't very clear, Kendrick did not shake anybody down with Coley and Tyler. I know it's 2018. I have to clarify that they just got the Twitter account. I don't want to see any articles that we shook someone down. Our first problematic article where Kendrick shook someone down for his at Kendrick
ass.
That's it.
It was actually Sully. Sully owned the Twitter account at Kenjack.
Sorry to Sully Sullenberger. Get out of here. That we're a pro Sully.
Sully would beat your ass up.
Dude,
Sully.
I would beat the shit out of Sully Sullenberger any day of the week. He does not want this fucking smoke. I will beat him the fuck down.
Dude, he's got that old man strength. He fucking put you in a sleeper hold. He'd say something like, "You're going to regret this, young man."
I'd put him in the Walls of Jericho and make him, like, say Geese is his daddy or something. Like, I'd make him fucking, for a piece of
you're
shit.
You're just putting the fucking lion Sully. Tamer. You're putting the lion tamer on Sully Sullenberger.
Oh, my God. All right. Mission Impossible Fallout. Why? First question. 2, see an IMAX. And 3, you got to see it before our podcast on Thursday. It's going to be an awesome one to talk about. For Ken Jack and Troll Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the box, though.
Just hit the pedal. If things go wrong, it's just incidental. My bad, never got the memo that you never have fun while you're in the limo. Yeah, you wanna ride in six, you wanna dine in the six. But when I lean for the kiss, you said I'll probably send you some pics. And I'm like, hell no, nah, been waiting too long. Hell no, nah, I want that cruel love. Losing all my innocence.